My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Could we see Nick Chubb sooner than what some of us think? This is something that's being bandied about throughout. I want to bring in the authority. Zach Jackson joins us from The Athletic. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Akron Jackson. Hello, Zach.
Hello. I've been on the phone with the Hoban coaches all morning after hearing your son caught a pass in the scrimmage.
I mean, you got up until, what, after sixth grade to recruit my son, so you might as well start now.
Yeah, I mean, they said they usually like to go past Streetsboro. They like to go to Youngstown or even Buffalo for most of their players, but they said they're willing. They want to see some more
Buffalo.
Film.
Oh, my God. My
reckless
God.
Speculation.
Oh, gosh. Zach Jackson joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Nick Chubb, could we see him week one?
It would be a surprise to me. I think the team was always going to both play it by the ear / knee and always take the conservative approach. I think the loose plan was always PUP, which is four games and puts you into October. But, you know, we don't have an update. We've seen him run twice, you know, and obviously the first time we saw it at the Greenbrier, I think it was only the second day out there, it was notable. He looked mostly like Nick Chubb. But when we see those things, and this applies to what we saw with Jedrick Wills too last week, like they're brief and we don't know, are the guys being asked to open it up? You know, we see them in a certain script of the day, but are they doing it every day, every other day? I don't know. So I would still be surprised, Ken, but I think they always were kind of flexible with that. But I think that the plan mostly was for October or beyond.
All right, Zach, let's talk about the story emerging from this past week with all the work they got in with the Minnesota Vikings. You use the term emergency situation at offensive tackle. How can you sum it up as best you can, you know, the state of affairs they're in?
Yeah, well, I mean, what is an emergency in August, right? And probably unless you lose one of your absolute top players, you probably don't have it. Now, when you're – they've had enough injuries in this camp, and that would be the number one position probably, that it has derailed the overall operation of things. It's just what it's been. And then you're playing James Hudson, and he gets hurt, and then both guys get hurt. So Jermaine Ifedi, both backups who they brought in at different points in the offseason. So Jermaine Ifedi's okay. Adeniji is done for a while. That leaves you in practice with two left tackles, one an undrafted rookie from Rhode Island, and the other Jermaine Ifedi, who was playing guard in the spring, right? So the emergency would be that Jed Wills is now 9 months plus off surgery and isn't back yet. So, you know, he's played enough football. He's been in this system with this team, and they've obviously been every step of the way since the injury happened in early November. Can they get him ready in 2 weeks? Sure, but we just don't know because we thought we would see him by now. I don't think anybody expected to see Jack Conklin at any time until late August or early September, even into the season. But to not have Jed Wills, I mean, this team does not have a real backup left tackle. And they encountered that last year when they had to go find Jaron Christian, who was what at his kid's Halloween party when they called him, and then he was starting. And what we've seen this summer is that James Hudson is not a left tackle. And Jermaine Ifedi in his age 30 season is probably not a left tackle when you play Micah Parsons, Josh Allen, and Brian Burns in the first 3 weeks of the season. So this team needs Jed Wills, and we'll see when he gets back.
Is this situation they're in right now, is it just bad luck, or was there something organizationally that you feel like they might have missed on over the last few years to put them in this predicament?
This is that's an interesting one, and I understand the angst here, right? But I feel like it has to be a setback, even though I don't have that answer. And I feel like the team did what it could do, right? Hakeem Adeniji has never lasted as a starter in this league, but he's played real games at left tackle. They signed him right away in free agency. A month later, they went and got Jermaine Ifedi, who's played multiple years, multiple games, multiple positions, right? They've brought James Hudson along. Now they're at the end of it because he's in the last year of his rookie contract, but he was always a traits guy to develop. They signed an undrafted rookie to develop. So, like, they've done their part. He's not available, right? So in the grander scheme, could they have approached it differently? And would they have liked to have had a first-round pick along the way? Because that's where you usually get a left tackle. Yes, but they chose not to, and here we are. It's probably bad luck, but like I said, I think it's in the scope of August. It's fair to say emergency because something has failed here. And the fact that when they go to practice tomorrow, we don't know who the left tackle is going to be. We just know whoever it is not good enough to play in a real game, which is 2.5 weeks away.
Would you then change your plans of playing Deshaun Watson Saturday?
I think you have to at least examine it 100%. Because the operation has been so bad. I mean, everything about the offense has been bad, but for all the reasons you can point out why, like, that's part of it. And you're playing on turf against Mike McDonald, even though it's supposed to be vanilla, and he hasn't had any live action. So it's not ideal, but you operate in an unideal world, right? But I would think about it, and if Kevin comes back on Wednesday and says he's changed his mind, I'm not going to be surprised, and at least at this point, it's my first time saying it out loud, I'm certainly not going to kill him for it if that's the move.
Well, what's the fallout then if he comes out and he says it? What would be the negative to it if he's like, you know what, we're not going to put him out there without a starting left tackle. Never mind.
Yeah, no, right. The negative would be that you would be playing a game with the whole country watching on September 8th against the Cowboys with a guy that hasn't had one live snap in 10 months, exactly, right? And you went through, you know, this is the last week that the practice is really open to reporters, but it's been awful. Like, they can have no confidence in the offense at this point. So now a lot changes for every team as you transition into the next phase. There's plenty of practice days. There's plenty of tweaking, and really the whole mode of camp changes as you get out of camp mode and into getting ready for the season. But you would like for the operation – for your own peace of mind and confidence to see the offense succeed on some level, because you've seen it about 11% of the time through 3+ weeks of camp.
Well, and we're talking to Zach Jackson from The Athletic, and you've been at these, you've been doing this a long time. How would you compare the workload that Watson has gotten to this point with your normal healthy quarterbacks?
I think very normal. There was one planned day off, and there was one drill at the end of a practice that he sat out. So I don't even know a long-time established quarterback would be on any different than that, because I think along the way you give a guy a day off, right? So he has said, even going back to April, that he felt good about the plan. We talked to him right before camp started in July. He felt good about it. I have not seen, like I said, one thing that's made me say, oh, they just cut off his throwing or whatever. Like, I think he's been done that. So I think from a workload standpoint and how they feel about it, in terms of him checking in constantly with the trainers and relaying that to the coaching staff, I don't think there's any issue with that. It's just, it hasn't been live, and you need to see that for your offensive growth, more importantly, but for a lot of other reasons here in this situation. So you would love to see him play 2 series or 3 series. But again, I don't know. Like, if you have any doubts, I think probably the right move is to pull that plug, and then you just use that practice time, which you need to anyway, because they have a lot of things they need to clean up.
Zach, isn't it kind of amazing? Like, we're talking to Owen's big Chiefs fan, and Patrick Mahomes has been in two of these games. We've seen Burrow. We've seen C.J. Stroud. Yeah. And that the fact that it seemed after the McVay revolution that nobody was going to play their quarterbacks ever again in the preseason, to now some do, some don't, and there really isn't a science to this.
No, there is. There is and there isn't. You know, I think Mike Vrabel said it best. He knows a little more football than I do. He said there's 32 flavors to this thing. And that applies to the spring work, to the training camp, to right now where every team is focusing in on September and beyond, right? So you can do it differently. You do it differently. Like, the Bills haven't scored in the preseason. Is anybody panicking about Josh Allen? You know, Mahomes is out there on the second day of practice throwing those 60-yard bombs. You know, the Browns just don't complete anything over 4 yards for 4 weeks. Like, there's just different ways to do it. So, yeah, I Stefanski and the whole organization believe in the way they do it. And I, like I said, I do think to some level the number of injuries has disrupted the flow of things. But it really is a blank slate as soon as they get back from Seattle and shift things. And then they have practice time to get ready, and they're going to try this offense that, whether he plays in Seattle or not, is going to be designed to keep him out of trouble at first, and then eventually to let him go and create and, you know, try to maximize what he's best at.
How you feeling about the defense, though?
The defense looks phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And that's with like four or five, you know, I don't know. I don't think there's 11 starters on defense. There's 16 guys, right? Well, five or six of them aren't in, and the defense looks great. So really, Denzel looked like the third best player in camp before he got hurt. Emerson's been great. Him and Jefferson last week was awesome. You know, I think there's a chance Newsom is ready for week one, and that's obviously a positive, even if it's kind of a limited role there. Miles just looks so good. So Zadarius is back after he sat out four or five practices. He should be full go this week. The defense looks great. I mean, when you watch those joint practices on both fields, the defenses were completely dominant and the offenses were yikes. And I think probably the defenses on each side had something to do with that.
Zach Jackson joining us from The Athletic. Mike Hall played on Saturday, by the way. What did you think of that?
I think it's shameful the way the team has handled it. And their strategy appears to be just that it'll go away. And so we'll find out, as Kevin says, as the legal process plays out.
How'd he look?
He looks like he's a really gifted pass rusher who has a long way to go. I mean, stylistically is why they drafted him, not because he's from here or anything else. He's a Jim Schwartz pass rusher, and he's getting better. So the praise on him early in camp, you know, from Schwartz and from the new D-line coach seemed to match, you know, kind of what we've seen. And, you know, now we're, what, 8 days from finding out if he's going to have to be on the 53, and I think he's probably going to have to be on the 53 unless something changes in that time.
All right, give us somebody. We're talking to Zach Jackson here, a few more minutes. Give us somebody that has really stood out to you that maybe you didn't think would be in that scenario at this point.
Yeah, well, I'll start with two of the draft picks. Miles Harden, the seventh rounder from South Dakota, I think he has to make the team. I'm not sure that would have been the case, right? He's been really good, and it hasn't been perfect, but we've seen him get number one reps on the special teams. We saw him get a couple of number one reps versus the Vikings in their kind of one-minute drill situation, and seen him make plays. And when you're a corner and you're out there, because especially if they have to put you out there in a game, they're going to throw to the seventh rounder from South Dakota every time. So, and then the other guy who's shown up the last couple of weeks is Thrash, the receiver. He didn't really do anything in the spring early in camp, and it's hard for rookies at every position. But I think, you know, legitimately, they're, and this is, still isn't a good thing that they have a mess at wide receiver and try to pick it out for the present and the future. But, you know, I think he has shown up in the right places and produced enough that he's at least in the discussion to make the team, where I would have really never thought possible because there's not anything really special about it.
Miles Harden making the team. Are there 51 of the 53 roster spots that are already spoken for?
It's in that neighborhood, Ken. The injuries complicate it, right? But I would have thought that 48 were spoken for going to camp if everybody gets through. So, you know, what that is right now, I don't know. I mean, you have – obviously, Jordan Hicks is your number two linebacker. He's going to make the team. You know, the Tony Fields and the Watson kids that they drafted, that they need to get healthy to make the team? Have they been passed by Devin Bush and Diabate in this camp? It looks like it, but I don't know. You know, your number three tight end is now hurt. So it's hard to play that game without knowing. I think Michael Dunn is going to be back at practice this week, and if he's healthy, he makes the team. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, Zinter is the only backup that you knew for sure would make the team. Obviously, Nick Harris now. So those two. Well, you have a mess at tackle, and so you have an availability and a performance issue with your starters and your backups. So I don't know. Do you have to keep extra guys that way, or are you going to bring one in? So see how fluid it is. It's hard to say. But just looking at Myles Harden, the way he's played, I can't imagine that they would think that they could be able to sneak him through the practice squad.
David Bell, is he safe?
I don't know. He hasn't played, you know.
Somebody told me he was safe. I was surprised.
I don't think that Michael Woods has passed him, put it that way. But, you know, how's it going to shake out? And are the other guys healthy? We don't know if Amari Cooper's healthy. We last saw him limping off the field. So, again, like David Bell's not a return guy. I don't, you know, does someone become available that becomes your fifth or sixth receiver and can be your return guy because the guy that was slotted as the return guy, Nyheim Hines, hasn't been activated yet? So, see, there's all these moving things that we just don't know and have to be figured out in the next week.
All right, Zach, I know you've been following.
I mean, I put it this way, sorry. I would trade a quarterback for a receiver from Green Bay. Green Bay has like eight receivers who could play for the Browns.
Corner or quarter?
Quarter.
Okay, quarterback.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you've been obviously closely monitoring the Browns situation. Have you had any reason, based on anything you've heard or seen, to change your mind about the pecking order of this division as we speak?
You know, I don't know. I really haven't seen anything from the other teams. I feel like, if healthy, the Bengals are the best team in the division. I feel like the Browns are a high-ceiling team. We have major questions, and most of them are centered around the health and the quarterback. So, you know, every year it's like the Steelers are really bad, and every year the Steelers have a winning record. So I think it remains the deepest, toughest division and probably the only one that all four could realistically win. But, you know, I've said this all along, and I maintain this. Like, even though I have major questions about the Browns, and even though, you know, looking at what this offense is going to be is not good enough without a major change, I still think this is a pretty high-ceiling team. So we have to let it play out and see where they are in four, five, six games.
Zach, I thank you very much for the time, and I will see you October 12th for the battle for Zach Jackson's love at Lockhart Field.
Thank you.
Thank you. Zach Jackson on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
How does it make you feel when you hear him say that about the offense, but then say the defense absolutely is dominating? Do you take away from that conversation both of those
makes
things?
Makes you feel like we're going to have to grind things out.
Well, glass half empty or half full?
It's... I guess, no, I think normal fans want a good offense. They don't want to have to worry about having to play defense. And if you get past, like if a team gets past 21, all of a sudden you're in trouble. Like they want to be able to shoot it out with anybody. So everybody says they want a good defense, and it's a prideful thing to say you want a good defense. And I think there's probably a lot of our listeners who say they want a good defense. There's a lot of just general folks out there. They want their team to be able to score points. Scoring points is fun for the general fan, and they want their team to be able to win a shootout with anybody. That's why you pay quarterbacks obscene amounts of money. That's why, I mean, Kansas City, I'm sure there was conversation last year about, do we really even need Chris Jones because we have Patrick Mahomes? And I would disagree with those conversations, but I guarantee there were conversations about it. So when you hear that the offense isn't going so hot, yeah, it's a concern for a lot of people, and I think it does overshadow what has been a great defensive camp so far.
Yeah, yeah, great with a bunch of standouts too, which is good to hear. So, you know, getting back to the conversation at hand on Watson, I made the case earlier in the show that I still...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Thought you needed to play them. So I didn't think the Cowboys week one was a good scenario at all for that to be his very first real football activity against a team trying to get to him, trying to crush him, trying to hurt him, go after his shoulder. Zach made a case, both of you made a case that maybe it might be time to flip the script on this because of the status of the offensive line. And I think it's a really tough one, Ken. I do.
I'd sit him. 216-474-0092. I'd sit him. I don't want him out there in a game that doesn't matter. With the possibility of hurting that shoulder, getting hurt. If you were to lose him because of injury, during the season that's one thing, them's the breaks. You lose him because of that, because of injury, right before the season starts. This is a year-by-year thing. I know they just got extensions, and I know we're all feeling good. It's a year-by-year thing now. You made the playoffs last year against a lot of odds. You made the playoffs last year. It's expected now. He gets hurt, and it's seen that you didn't give him the opportunity to go out and play in real games anymore. It's already, you're going to be the one in the hottest seat because you're the one who advised it. You're the one who signed off on it. I'd have to rethink this, and I'd probably just play Jameis Winston on Saturday. And you guys can call me every word in the book. You can call me a sissy, whatever you want to call me. I'd play Jameis Winston on Saturday. I wouldn't play Deshaun Watson. Let the backup go out there and take reps. And I know if he gets hurt, well, you could be in trouble too because the guy who starts doesn't really start a full season. I don't think anybody's expecting him to start all season long. I think you hope he plays all 17 games, but with the amount of quarterbacks that's played over the last 2 years, is that more unrealistic than the other side? I think so. So even if he were to get hurt, you would have a problem there. But I don't need him all out there doing it. I don't need him out there doing it with my current tackle situation, with my current offensive line situation. I don't need him out there doing it. I got an offensive line of veterans. DeJuan Jones might need a little bit more seasoning coming back. I got Jed Wills, who isn't cleared for takeoff yet, so I imagine he's not going to be able to play on Saturday right now, and I don't think you would play him on Saturday. Who are you going to put at left tackle? Joel Bitonio doesn't need to play in the preseason. Ethan Posick doesn't. I don't think Wyatt Teller needs to. Like, this would change a lot of what I wanted to do. these injuries at the tackle spot. And again, not having Jed Wills back yet.
Yeah, I understand everything you just said. I kept thinking,
if you want to play him, give me a good reason, because I've just given you a million good reasons why not to play him.
I just thought you could be safe with it, that you could structure something safe that, you know, both gets him just feeling like he's a normal football player again. I don't know what it is about the Cowboys and Micah Parsons and, you know, him chasing and trying to do whatever he can to Deshaun Watson to make his life very uncomfortable in week one. Maybe it's just that, Ken, is it that you don't really think that game one is the biggest deal in the world? Like, you're okay if he's just rusty.
I think it's going to be sloppy anyway, and I think that he's going to be rusty anyway, and I don't know how much help. I'd like to get him some timing and some seasoning too, but I don't think that the preseason is dictating that because of where my left tackle situation is. And the guys who could possibly fill into that role are all hurt. James Hudson's hurt. I don't know if he's a left tackle anyway. Hakeem Adeniji's hurt. He's going to be out for some time. He did not look good with that injury. So where am I at now?
Well,
I'm
going to
put Lorenzo Thompson. Go pick Lorenzo Thompson out of the lineup. You tell me you want to put him at left tackle and have him protect for Deshaun Watson? No, we're making calls to the street now.
I guess I'd ask, what are you going to do in week one anyway, if that's the case and you don't feel great about Chedrick Wills?
But it's a game that counts, so I have to do what I have to do. That counts. This game does not count overall. So really, I'm just trying to get guys worked up and get them ready. That's all I'm doing. In a game that counts, I got to make do. Because, I would have to go ahead and play Deshaun Watson in a regular season game that counts. I don't have to do that on Saturday. No one's making them do that on Saturday. I wouldn't yell at Kevin Stefanski for pulling the plug on that. I would be more nervous, and I have a feeling I will be very nervous when I go out there and I see him play, and I just hope that everything goes right. I hope that the offense conducts itself right. Because if he goes down, ain't going to be a fun ride back. Gonna be a scary ride back. Think about that.
I understand.
You got a playoff team with a very high ceiling that you've spent a lot of money on, and if something bad were to happen there, man.
At some point, we just want to see him on a football field to feel good about the season. And I think right now, I know this is such an emotional part of this, and normally I'm not playing the emotional card on this, and I'm playing it
by the books. I'm the emotional one on that.
Yeah, and in the past, I've said I wouldn't play these guys at all. But man, as of right now, I don't feel good at all. Going into week one.
So just play him?
And so I just to calm, do you think the team is at all that confident right now with Deshaun?
I think that they're a professional football team and they know that it's their job to go out there and perform at a high level. That is the answer. You acted like they're all scared and nervous about Deshaun Watson. I don't know if they're scared and nervous. I don't think they are. I think that they expect themselves to play at a high level because it's their job to.
They can't sit there and assume that offensively it's going to click in week one if they haven't done anything against live bodies with hitting and tackling.
Everybody else has hit and tackled and been in except for Deshaun Watson. And technically Nick Chubb.
It's a pretty important
guy. And
Jed
Wills.
That's a pretty important position.
Yeah, very important, but I'm not going to put him in harm's way now if I don't have to. And leaving him out there without Jed Wills, who isn't God's gift to the position in the first place, is not necessarily putting him in a proper position to protect him. 216-474-0092. Joe, in D.C., listening on the free Odyssey app. Joe, go ahead.
All I want to say is it doesn't matter if he plays or not. The game don't count, like you said, Ken. But the first four games of the season, which is the Cowboys, Jaguars, Raiders, and I'm missing the team.
Doesn't matter. Go ahead.
They have to come out of that with a 3-1 or 4-0. They have to. And the first four games of the season in the NFL is trash offensively because the offensive teams don't really play in the preseason. So the defense definitely is going to have to limit their mistakes to get those W's until the offensive line and Deshaun get cranked up. But him playing on Saturday, it doesn't matter to me because it doesn't count. But the first four games, if they can come out of that the Giants, Jaguars, Cowboys.
So if he played, Joe, if he played on Saturday and played well, you wouldn't feel any more optimistic for the season?
No, I wouldn't.
If he played on Saturday and got hurt, you wouldn't be downtrodden for the season?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So then it counts in some fashion now, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does matter.
It doesn't count. It doesn't count in the record book is what I'm saying. If they sit him out, fine. But the first four games of the season, like you say, count. If it's going to take them 3 or 4 weeks, if you got Nick Chubb, if you don't got Nick Chubb, we don't know where Nick Chubb is going to be at. Is Jared Wills going to be back by game one? It's going to take the offense to jail at least 3 or 4 weeks.
Yes.
At least.
Yes. And their hope is, Joe, thank you very much for the call. Their hope would be to put him out there and it would start a little bit sooner. But what am I going to win? What am I doing? What am I accomplishing by putting him out there? Maybe getting his feet wet, getting him some action again.
Well, I guess
the nerves,
yeah,
the rust, I'm not sure about any of that, but getting him going.
What do you think Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs were getting out of having him out there in those two games? I know, not coming off the surgery and everything. I'm just asking just as a blanket statement.
Timing. Because they want to go out and they want to beat Baltimore week one. It's an important thing. And I think that the Browns want to go out and they want to beat Dallas in week one. And they think that that's an important thing. And they know it's an important thing because you're on national television and Tom Brady is going to be in the booth calling that one. And whatever he says is going to be taken as the law about your quarterback. So I understand the reasoning behind it, but things have changed. The best laid plans, all that crap, it's all changed now. And so I just ask everybody, seriously, I know we all want to play tough guy, but we have to plan for a season here. And if he's not in for the rest of the year, if something bad were to happen, or if he were to be stunted in his return, and all of a sudden he's on PUP, there's not going to be a good vibe around this entire fan base here. I don't have my left tackle. I don't even know when he's going to play. I don't even have his backup. I don't even have the guy backing up the backup right now. I think I'm going to leave Deshaun Watson out. Well, right now we don't have any left tackles. Other than that, we're doing just fine. There's your training camp report. It's really a preseason game number two report because James Hudson went down. And then on the same play, trying to chase down a guy who had a pick, nearly pick six, Akeem Adeniji went down, and then Jermaine Ifedi went down. Ifedi's going to be all right, but he's not a tackle, so I don't know what the hell to do. And this is not a very good situation for anybody involved. And there's your training camp report. Why do you want to put him out there, say, just so you see him? Just so you have something to talk about?
Yeah, I told you.
So you can feel a little bit more optimistic about the season.
It was emotional because I'm getting so many people that are like, I was excited about this season until – you know, I realize that, again, our quarterback, we don't know if we can depend on him. And I know it's what you're saying as well. If he plays in the preseason, why would that change, you know, your thoughts? Like, Josh Allen and the Bills have done nothing offensively, right? So far, Zach had referenced, we had Zach Jackson on earlier. But Bills fans know that once the season gets going, you know, they feel really good about Josh Allen as their quarterback. You know, Browns fans don't have that. They don't have that card up their sleeve.
We are in a weird spot as a fan base. And I'm talking not just about the Browns. I think overall. You mentioned with the Guardians, like, where's the cockiness? This was last week before they got swept by Milwaukee. Where's the cockiness? Why isn't anybody puffing out their chest? Why isn't anybody whooping it up and saying that the Guardians are going to win it all? Why aren't there any callers yelling about the Guardians going to win the World Series? Now we need to be talking more. You would ask that question, and then they get swept by Milwaukee, and I bet there was a lot of listeners going, that's why we didn't puff out our chest. And here we are. We're getting ready for a football season here. We're under 3 weeks away from the opener against the Dallas Cowboys. Again, big time, nationally televised. What is it, America's Game of the Week on Fox? Tom Brady's going to be there in the booth calling the game. It's going to be an electric atmosphere, and I got nobody whooping it up. Because I think that a lot of people are going, yeah, we got to see how he plays. And when you're hearing mixed to negative reviews in camp about the quarterback, I think that that can take a little bit. But I think there's a lot of people kind of wondering what we're going to be this year.
Do you think, Kenny, though, the defensive part of this, like we're all talking offense,
year. Yeah.
Why is it the defense getting people to start chanting, here we go,
because
Brownies? Like, is that not exciting to have a dominant defense?
In their heart of hearts, it is exciting to have a dominant defense, but they know in their heart of hearts it's going to come down to quarterback versus quarterback. And I think that's the only reason people want to see him play on Saturday. They want to start to make some sort of argument in their heads, whether they say it out loud or not, that this guy can still swing it amongst the best in the NFL, like he did 4 years ago. I mean, it's been four seasons now, but we spent so much on him and we gave up so many picks that we're going to hope that he's able to pull that thing up and he's able to go with it and play good football.
And it is,
I think that's what they want to see. They want to see that on Saturday.
And I'm going to call myself out because, you know, I for years, while Jake Delhomme or Brandon Whedon, you can go all the way back to Brady Quinn had a good preseason game, didn't he? Like, there have been so many Browns quarterbacks that have had those unbelievable preseason performances.
That's how Brian Hoyer made the Browns that year.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that. And, you know, like Bo Nix, I got his numbers right now, 23 of 33 so far, and he's been great. I mean, everybody's raving about Bo Nix. I'm not stupid, Kenny. I know that Bo Nix is not going to be this good, especially as a rookie. Maybe over time with Sean Payton. But I can guarantee you Denver Broncos fans are excited right now.
Yeah.
So that's all it really does.
You always want to look forward to something.
That's all it really does.
And that's
what
they want.
To get people excited.
That's what they want. They want something they can see to whet their appetite to get a little bit excited. Guys, I understand all that stuff. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's worth the risk. A regular season game is worth the risk. You got to win those. So it's worth to put them out there when I don't know if we're going to have Jed Wills. And if we don't, I'm not really – I mean, I know you got 3 weeks, but I'm not really thinking that he's going to be out there. I haven't heard a damn word. Don't even – think I got sources on that. There's just nothing to tell me that there's been that he's going to be out there in week one, but I have to put Deshaun Watson out there week one. I don't have to put him out there on Saturday, and the more I think about it, the less I want to put him out there.
Do
on
you think
Saturday.
There's a legit chance that he backtracks now based on new information?
Yes. Who are the free agents right now? Who are the current free agents
for offensive line
at offensive tackle?
I've seen some lists. I mean, I haven't heard of any of these.
So this is from 6 days ago.
I don't even know the guys we have behind our starters.
This is from 6 days ago. I got this is a Walter Football, so I don't even know if this is real.
Walter knows it.
All right, it was updated, but it was updated less than a week. I'm going to get to the phones. David Bakhtiari.
I've heard of him.
Is he retired?
I thought he retired,
okay,
too.
So he's basically a Jack Conklin where – okay, what are you going to do in week two if he comes out and plays tackle for you? DJ Humphreys of the Cardinals, formerly of the Cardinals. Let's see here. Nope, these guys are all signed. Williams is taken care of. Charles Leno at 32. And there you go. That's about all of them. Donovan Smith with the Chiefs. Dwayne Brown, 39. You want Dwayne Brown out there? I don't even know these guys. Here you go. Is Kendall Lamb out there and is he available? I don't even know if this list is like current. This is the closest thing I could get to a current list. I don't think Kendall Lamb is available. I think he's currently with the Fish. Kendall Lamb played for us at one point. Those were the dark ages, but he played for us at one point. That's where we're at, guys. So it's... Everybody went from saying every word in the book about Jed Wills and none of them were good to, boy, when's he coming back? We really need him to come back. You never thought you'd need Jed Wills back this much, did you? Not a position of strength, not a position of power. Don't like being in this position. And I would rather just not play Deshaun Watson on Saturday because of it. Jay and Erie, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Jay.
Hey, what's up? No, I totally agree, Ken. What is the advantage of playing him for one or two series at the risk of injury? But I can guarantee you if the Browns don't win week one or he doesn't look good, first calls on Monday morning going to be, see, told you he should have played preseason. But
yeah,
in all honesty,
I can handle that. Go ahead, Jay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, is two series really going to make that much of a difference for him for week one? I mean, against a basic defense that's not really showing much. I understand getting the whole feet wet thing. That makes total sense. But is the risk worth the reward? But I guarantee you if he doesn't look good week one, they're going to say, well, he should have played in the preseason.
But playing him in that preseason game, Jay, and I agree with you, and thank you very much for the call.
Because if he gets injured in the preseason game, everybody gets fired.
But if he goes out there, exactly, that's the risk. See, now you're coming to my side. I can feel it. You're coming over. You're on your way over. There's just not many things that make sense about playing him anymore. You want Draymond Jones? You want somebody up against Draymond Jones? I'm looking at who might start for Seattle coming up on Saturday. If we're all playing starters here amongst friends. So, I mean, that's just where we're at right now. And I'd rather just play him in games. And Jay's right. Like, you'll get people going, he should have played in the preseason game. Yeah, but if he goes out there and he plays that poorly in week one against Dallas, do you really think preseason would have fixed everything? I mean, that's kind of like the lipstick on the pig and trying to figure out after
that. All that line of logic would dictate that we would never play anybody in any preseason game ever. The starters.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. And if Jed Wills were healthy... Or even, guys, even if they had Adeniji that was able to play. Yeah, go ahead, play him. Let's see it. You know, we'd have the big conversation. Kenny in Maple Heights. Kenny, hello.
Hello. I think he should play. I think they should start him the whole first half.
The whole first half?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole first half. So they can get the offense could get a good rhythm. He ain't been playing in a while, so. I think they should get – I got confidence in them, though, but I just think the offense should get a good rhythm. They got new players, Jerry Jeudy, and they just need to get their rhythm and timing down.
Well, I don't even know if those guys
they need to get ready for the Cowboys.
You would play Jerry Jeudy as well in that game?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He might have a lot of his first team offensive line. Kenny, thank you for the call. I don't know if he's going to have his first team wide receivers out there. Jerry Jeudy, those are soft tissue injuries that I'm worried about. Amari Cooper limped off the field last week, so I don't know if I want to play him in that game on Saturday. Yeah, it's just, guys, it's not worth it. Let Jameis Winston go out there and play. You're coming around to this, aren't you? You've kind of taken my side on all this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.